Great. Yeah, like Lou said, it's great to be here. It's really becoming to feel like home. I want us to turn to the Word of God tonight, and we're going to read out of Nehemiah, the first chapter. And I want to talk to us tonight about the topic broken but called. And it was great and really encouraging for me to watch your announcements and see all the trips that you guys are planning. That is excellent. You know, you go on these trips, and before we moved to Lesotho, we've been in a fortunate position to have been able to lead quite a lot of teams up to Zambia and Malawi. And every time we have seen this, every single time, you take guys up to these places, you go and minister there, and everybody goes with this expectation and this idea that I'm going to bless these people. I'm going to minister to them. I'm going to do this work, whatever it is. And time after time after time, every single person has come back and can testify, you know, I went there and I thought I'm going to be able to minister to those people. But you know what? I got ministered the most. I've never found anybody who's gone on a mission trip anywhere that has come back the same person. You grow. Spiritually you grow. You change. So if you get at all the chance to go anywhere, go. That was for free. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. This is the prophet Nehemiah writing here. He says, I asked them about the Jews who had returned from their captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. There's another story as well in the New Testament. I'm not going to read it to you. I'll just tell you about it. You know about it. And that is the story of Jesus and his disciples that was busy ministering to a lot of people. Actually, Jesus was the one doing all the work. He was preaching, healing people, driving out demons. And his disciples were just watching, learning, hopefully. And at a point in time, he said to them, listen, I think it is now time that we go over this lake to the other side. So let's get in the boat, let's go. So they all got in the boat. The disciples started rowing. They didn't have little engines those days, if you wondered. And they were rowing. And then a storm came up. A big storm. So much so that these guys, they were fishermen. Look, this was their life, going out on the sea. But they got afraid of the storm. And they were battling against the waves with their little oars there. And then they realized, you know what? We are doing all the work here. And Jesus, he's taking a free ride. He's lying sleeping in the boat. So they went and they woke him up. And they said, hey, Lord, don't you care? We are doing all the work here. Look at the waves. We're going to die here. and you lying sleeping. And then, you know the story. Jesus calmed the storm. They were quite amazed. I wonder why they were. I think they actually most probably just wanted him to help rowing. But he did a bit more than that. And he calmed the storm. And they were amazed. Each of us face storms in our life. Each of us face storms in our life. Maybe tonight as you're sitting here, you facing a storm. Maybe here tonight you're sitting and you finding yourself rowing like mad, trying to stay afloat. Maybe tonight you're wondering, Jesus, don't you care? Where are you in my life? Where are you in this situation? Maybe you think tonight, maybe Jesus is asleep in the boat of my life. I want us to look at the storm tonight, because each of us face a storm. If you're not facing it now, you have faced one. And you're going to face another one. And another one. Because that's life. And I want us to look tonight at four questions about the storm. Those very popular questions. What, why, when, how? So our first question is, what is a storm in your life? What is a storm in your life? Is a storm in your life sin that has entangled you? That has taken you captive and you're just in the grip of the sin? You know what the sin is. I can mention a lot of them. But you know what's going on in your life. And that sin is a storm in your life because you know the truth. You know the right thing. You know that the Bible says that we must not partner with sin. You know that the Bible says that we need to live a holy life. But you are caught up in this. It's like you're a prisoner of sin. And you cannot get away from it. Maybe finances is your storm tonight. Maybe you've made bad decisions in the past. And it's affecting you now. And now you sit with debt that you cannot handle. Maybe you're caught in a job somewhere that you are completely unhappy in because you didn't listen to God when He spoke to you. And you decided to go into a certain career. And that is your storm tonight. Maybe you're in a relationship that you mustn't be. Or maybe you've got broken relationships tonight. Maybe you're not speaking to your parents. Maybe you haven't for years. Or maybe you had a fight with one of your friends. Maybe your best friend. And that's a storm in your life. Or maybe your future is your storm. Because maybe tonight you're sitting and you're hearing all these things about missions and people going on all these trips, and that's creating a storm in your life because you are being stirred. You're wondering, am I at the place where God wants me to? Am I doing what He wants me to do? Am I studying the right stuff? Am I heading in the right direction? What does God want for me? What is your storm tonight? And the second question that flows from that is, why is there a storm in your life? might sound very stupid to ask such a question after all we've said, but I think there's mainly two reasons why there is a storm in our lives. Actually, just really one. The first one is that I created the storm myself. You say, how can I create a storm? How can I be blamed for this thing that is wrong in my life? Well, very easy. If you look at sin, if you're in a sexual relationship that you're not supposed to be, did anybody force you? No. I'm sure nobody forced you into it. You decided. And so does with any sin. If you got a gambling problem, did anybody force you? No. We create our own storms often in life. And then we want to blame God for it, and we want to blame people for it, and all these things. It's never us. It's never me. And you know what? The thing with sin is, we all sin. But you know why some of us get completely trapped in it? Maybe why you trapped in it tonight? It's because sin is nice. Yeah. Think about it. Would you be doing what you're doing if you hated it? If it wasn't nice? The consequences of sin is never nice. But the act of sin is always nice. That's why people do it. That's how the devil catches us. Because people will not be sinning if it wasn't nice. And that is what catches us. That's what entangles us. That is what makes it addictive. To be going back over and over and over and doing it again and again and again. Until you want to scream because you cannot get out of it. But it's so nice. And that's what's catching you. And catching me. When you go and spend that money on the credit card that you don't have. And you know, if I do this, I'm just worsening my financial situation. But you know, it's so nice to buy that new clothes. It's so nice to buy that car that I cannot afford. But the people are going to look at me and say, "Wow, that's a nice dress. Ooh, that's a beautiful car." And we like it. We love it. Because the attention's on me. I'm the man. Come the end of the month. And the next month. And the next month. Comes a different story. But I can't stop myself. Because it's so nice. You decided to become a teacher. Or not a teacher. God wanted you to become a teacher. But you decided no. That's a boring job. I don't want to be a teacher. I want to be an engineer. Or I want to be a doctor. People will think more of me. I'll get more money. And you don't do what God asks you to do. You go into the wrong career. And now you sit in a storm. And you don't know what to do. And tonight you cannot blame anybody else because all these things we do to ourselves. Maybe tonight you are wondering about your future. You're wondering, am I in the right direction? Am I in God's will? Am I really doing what He wants me to do? Mustn't I change direction? What if I now need to go and change direction? What if now I suddenly need to give up all of this and go and live in Timbuktu? What is the people going to think? I was on my way to make big money, to drive the nice car. And I gave it all up. Is that what I must do? Can I mess a little more with your brain tonight? I want you to listen to the following verse. You don't need to turn there. Believe me, it is in the Bible. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. It says, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." Okay. We know this verse. I'm sure all of you do. Good Christians reading your Bible every day. I hope. What is a nation? A nation are being defined as a people group who speak the same language and have the same customs. Okay? Now you need to just stay with me for a while. When the Bible talks about nations, it doesn't talk about South Africans. South Africa, as we know it geographically, is not a nation. Okay? A nation, as the Bible refers to, is a group of people who speak the same language and have the same customs. So within South Africa, we will have quite a few different nations that the Bible referred to. So much so, in the world, that is that round ball that we know, there is 16,020 different nations. 16,020 nations. Now, a term that you've also heard is that it's being spoken of unreached people. Okay? Unreached people. Now, in these learned circles that we are moving into now, an unreached people group will be a people group of which less than 2% are followers of Christ. Okay, now 2% is not much. That is very little if you didn't know that. Okay? 2%. Less than 2% of a people group do not know or are not followers of Jesus Christ. That is an unreached nation. Now, of the 16,020 nations in the world, how many would you think are unreached? Any guesses tonight? You're very close, eh? You peep my notes. My wife stole it earlier on, maybe. 6,883 nations are unreached. That represents 6.4 billion people who do not know Jesus Christ. Not just do not know Him, because there's many people in South Africa that do not know Him. This is people that actually have never heard of Him. They've never been preached to. There is 2.49, nearly 2.5 billion people, nearly 2.5 billion people on the face of this earth who does not have the access to a local church. And we're sitting here tonight. Is there a storm brewing inside you? I hope so. Many people also say, well, sorry, I don't move to Lesotho. It's too cold there, minus 20, never. Shopping malls, I need it. I need retail therapy. I cannot go without it. Okay, well, Let's get back to our unreached people. In this unreached people groups that we're talking about, there are 60 cities, unreached people, living in 60 cities in this world, and the city population is more than 1 million people. Kabul in Afghanistan has got 2.7 million people. It's a city, it's got shopping malls. Ankara in Turkey, 3.94 million people. Algiers in Algeria, 4.45 million people. Tehran in Iran, 7.4 million people, unreached. Dhaka in Bangladesh, 11 million people. Beijing in China, 12 million people. Calcutta in India, 13 million people. Maybe the storm in your life is just a bit increased a little bit to hurricane status. I hope. That brings us to our third question. When will the storm stop? Answer is easy. It can stop now. It depends on you. Life is made up of choices. You need to decide tonight. But you say, how? How? Fourth question, how do I stop it? Simple. You do what the disciples did. Remember, in the boat, they called Jesus into the picture. You and me need to call Jesus into the middle of our storm, because we won't be able to handle it ourselves. We need His wisdom and His guidance to still the storm in our lives. I want you to also understand very clearly tonight that doing that in certain circumstances tonight, calling Jesus into your storm, drawing the line so-called in the sand tonight, is not going to just stop the storm like it did for the disciples in the boat. It could be a long, hard journey for you, but it can start tonight. Because being caught up in sin of whatever kind could take a long time for you to sort that out, to overcome that. But tonight can be the first step by starting to confess, starting to walk the path of recovery. By bringing that into the open, admitting tonight that you need God's help, that you cannot do this on your own. By coming out tonight and saying, help me. I know there's people in this church who would like to come alongside you and to walk the road with you. No matter what your storm is, they will walk with you. If it's finances, you need counseling. You need guidance. Systems need to be set in place. You need to be held accountable. Do you need to go and ask forgiveness in the relationship? Go and do it tonight. Yeah, but it's not my fault. It was he or she. That's fine. You can still ask forgiveness. Because your actions is going to free you. They might still be bound, but it's going to free you and put you in the right direction. We need to lay down our pride. We need to listen tonight to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Your future, where is it heading? Are you heading in the right way that God wants you to go? Are you busy planning a future for yourself? One that makes you feel good? or one that God has designed for you. There's a song that we sing down in Cape Town at our home church. I don't know if you guys sing it here, but the words go something like, I won't sing it. The words go something like, Lord, break my heart for the things that break yours. I want to ask you, because many people ask and say, but you know, what must I do? I want to give you something tonight. I want to ask you, what is the brokenness in the world that breaks your heart? What is it that moves you? For each of us, it's going to be something different. Maybe tonight for you it is injustice. Or maybe it is people that are far away from God and need to be reached with the gospel. Maybe for you tonight it's poverty. Or maybe it's the state of education in our country. Or maybe it's orphans and vulnerable children. Or maybe it's whatever. What is it that is broken down that breaks you down? And once you have the answer to that question, the next step is simple. Build it back up. Go and build it back up. Remember the story of Nehemiah where we started? That's what happened to him. He heard about the state of the people, about the wall that was broken down. You can go and read the whole of Nehemiah, how they went back and how they built the wall up and everything. But Nehemiah found something in the world that was broken and that broke him. And he decided to go and build it up. For you here tonight, it might mean that you need to start a new career. Might mean that you need to move to another country. What could you simply mean that you need to get involved in one of the existing ministries in your local church here? Or maybe go and speak to the church leadership and initiate a new ministry. And for others, it might just be that you need to change the purpose for which you are doing things. In other words, maybe you have got a good career. Maybe you are happy there. Maybe that is where God wants you. But you still feel the storm inside of you when you hear all these things that we talk about that's going on in our world. And you wonder, how can I be part of it? Not everybody is called to go. But maybe you need to use some of that finances that you're generating to put behind people and organizations who are busy doing the building up. Maybe that's all you need to do tonight. My prayer is that God will cause a storm inside of you to break you with that which breaks His heart. And that it will cause you to begin to build up that which is broken. I want us to bow our heads. And I want you to just take a moment with God tonight. What is a storm in your life? What is a storm in your life? You can hide it from people. You can hide it from your closest friends. But you can't hide it from yourself. You can run away and try and do other things to make you feel good, to make you look good, to impress people. But tonight you're not going to impress God. What is a storm in your life? Tonight can be the night where you can draw the line in the sand and say, Lord, I'm tired of fighting the storm on my own. I need your help. Jesus, wake up, please, and come into my storm. Still the waters around me. Help me, Lord, to sort out this mess that I call life. If you've got a storm in your life tonight, and you want God to help you, I want you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you what your storm is. Your storm can be anything. By standing tonight, you are making a declaration that you're saying, Lord, I'm tired of fighting the storm alone. Lord, I'm tired. I cannot face it anymore. I've tried so many times, over and over. I cannot do it. Beyond me. God is saying to you tonight, my child, I know you can't do it. That's why I sent my Son. That's why I sent my Holy Spirit to come and help you, to come and strengthen you, to give you new energy, new leash on life, to give you that joy again that you've lost, to give you fulfillment that you've lost. I know you're tired, but I can give you renewed energy. As you stand there tonight, I want you to just reach out in your spirit to God and just say, Lord, help me. Calm the storm in my life. Lord, help me to break with this sin. Help me, Lord, where I took control of my own life. Lord, I want to give it back to you. Lord, forgive me where I've made my own decisions. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to hear your voice for my future. Lord, you know I'm so unhappy here where I am. I know there's so much more. Just help me, Lord. Whatever your prayer is tonight, just say it to God. Just say it to Him. He loves you. He loves you more than you will ever, 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 ever know. Just reach out to Him. Father God, I just pray tonight for each of these people, your dear children that's standing here tonight. Lord God, I just pray, Father, Holy Spirit, that you will just touch each of them right now. Lord, that you will just minister into their spirit. Father God, that you will just that you will just take them in your arms, Lord, and just reassure them of your love, your care for them. Lord, give restoration where restoration is needed. Give forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. Lord, give new energy. Give direction for futures here tonight. Reveal your plans to your children, Lord. Speak into their lives. Meet them, Lord, tonight, right there at that point of their need, in the middle of their storm. Thank you, Lord, for your ministry, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just blessing us tonight. Lord, help us, each of us standing, Lord, to continue with this decision we've made tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. You can sit down. I just want to ask also, while we're in this attitude, just bow your heads still again. Maybe tonight you came into this place and you don't even have a relationship with Jesus. You've been hearing about all this talk. And you realize tonight that you are far from God. You've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. Tonight can be the night that you can meet Him. Maybe your storm tonight is one of being lost. Don't you want to ask Him to come into your life tonight and to sort out your life, forgive you your sins, and put you on the road with Him? If you want to accept Jesus Christ tonight, I would like to pray with you as well. Won't you just put up your hand just where you are? All the eyes are closed, nobody's looking at you. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want you to pray this prayer after me. If you've put up your hand, you can put it down and just pray this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me on the cross. And Lord, I come to you tonight and I confess my sins. I acknowledge tonight, Lord, that I'm lost and that my life is in chaos without you. I pray tonight, Lord, that you will forgive me my sins. And that you will bring me into a relationship with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you, if you've put up your hand after the service, to come and speak either to me or to Tan. We would just like to pray with you. And I'm sure they wouldn't like to connect with you. Just help you. Put you on the path to grow. And any of the rest of you who've maybe been standing tonight, if you would like us to just pray with you personally after the service, you're welcome to come and speak to us or any of the leaders of the church. You know who they are. If you don't know, come and ask Dad. He knows all the leaders. I think he's a leader as well. But just come and speak to us, because I said to you, it's something that starts tonight. Your storm is most probably not going to be so easily conquered like it was with the disciples in the boat. But there's people here who would like to walk the road with you, who would like to take your hand and meet with you regularly, encourage you and help you on your road in calming your storm. Thank you. God bless you.